It's great to have you here today for God Is, and I'm speaking again with Dr. Brent Fulton. Brent, the president of China Source. You can find out more about them, chinasource.org, chinasource.org, or you can get Brent's book available on Amazon and also available if you'll contact me today, China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden. Brent, it's been great to be with you, and we have so much that we could cover, and so welcome back.
Well, thank you, Mark.
And when we left off last time, you were talking about a visit that you made some years ago just up into southern China, not far from Hong Kong. You visited a church that was pastored by Samuel Lam, and you explained that in that worship service as you entered, what fascinated you was that you found the Christians there were in silent prayer for some time. Remind us of that, and then tell us a little bit more about that experience or any other experiences that you have had praying with Christians in China.
Well, unlike in the West, when oftentimes we use the pre-service time at church as an opportunity to catch up with friends, I walked into this, I think we were on the second floor of this this large home in Guangzhou in southern China, and there were many people in the in this sanctuary already, but they were all lined up on their knees along the walls of the perimeter of this meeting hall, and they were all praying fervently. And it just spoke to me about the dedication of believers in China and how seriously they take prayer. As the church has changed, as the culture has changed in China, if you go into some of the urban churches today where you find a younger generation of believers worshiping, you might find that their worship is very similar to what we might find in the West. Some of the songs might sound familiar. You might find a choir. You might find a worship team up there worshiping. But again, very fervent worship. And I think what has characterized the church in China over the decades has really just been their utter dependence on the Lord, and it's seen in their worship, just how precious God is to them, and how they know that apart from Him, they can do nothing.
If you're listening to us today and you're not a Christian, that is, you do not follow Christ, what you're learning is that Christianity is not a white person's religion. It's not a religion just for China or just for some far-off place, some far-off land. But that Christianity is thriving all over the world, and it is alive and well also in the United States or wherever you may be listening. And I'm talking to Brent Fulton, who loves the Lord, loves God, has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as do I, as do many of you who are listening. And it shouldn't surprise someone, Brent, should it, who's listening today to us, who's not a Christian, that Christians within China are praying for them to believe in Christ.
They certainly are. Christians in China have a vision to see the gospel go to all nations. And, you know, oftentimes when we say to believers in China, we're praying for you, what we hear back is yes, and we're praying for you too. They're praying for the church in the United States. They know that like any church around the world, the church in the United States has its issues. And Christians in China hear about those issues, too, and they're concerned. And so even as we are praying for them, they're praying for us as well.
Are churches in China sending out missionaries around the world to tell other people about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
They are doing that. And one of the narratives that has emerged in more recent decades in China or in the West as we look at China has been the missionary narrative, the idea that China could potentially become the greatest mission force in the history of the church. And people back in the early 2000s were talking about, wow, the church in China may send out 100,000 missionaries at some point. There's been a lot of hype around that. In reality, yes, the church in China is training and equipping and sending cross-cultural workers, but the actual numbers are in the hundreds. And the experience over the last 10 years or so has not necessarily been a real victorious experience. Many of these Christians have gone out with the best intentions, sent out by their churches to places in the Middle East or elsewhere in Asia. But after a year or two, they just can't make it. and they come back to China. And so, yes, there's an incredible mission vision within the church in China, but the experience of what's happening right now really points to the need for better cross-cultural equipping so that these Christians, when they do get sent into another culture, can thrive in that culture and really can have a vibrant witness for Christ.
That's amazing, and we want to continue to pray for the church in that regard. And we'll talk next time about how we can be praying for Christians in China. So those of you who are Christians within the sound of our voices, today we'll talk about that next time. Be sure to be with us for that. Let me ask you this, Brent. How would Christians that you've met in mainland China describe God to you? I mean, maybe even in a word, but what would they say of our great God?
Well, oftentimes we hear them referring to God as Father. And I think one of the reasons for that particular way of seeing God, he is certainly is our Father, is cultural. Because in the Chinese culture, often a father figure is a distant figure. It's an authority figure, but not somebody who you can get close to. But they've come to know God as a loving Father. And for them, that is a paradigm shift. And it's precious for them to know that their loving Father cares for them, cares about every area of their life and is involved in their lives.
That's precious. You know, there's a lot of us also who struggle with God as Father because perhaps in our lives our Father has not been loving. He has not been intimate with us. He has not been close, and he has not been loving. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to understand the truth that God is our loving Heavenly Father, who gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we could live in right relationship with him is very powerful. And isn't it encouraging, friends, to know that if you've struggled in your own relationship with your earthly father, but you now believe in God the Father, that he has changed what fatherhood means to you. And it's encouraging to know that the people of mainland China have experienced that as well.
That's right.
Brent, how's the Bible taught there? In the churches or even outside the church? You mentioned, for example, I think Bible studies in businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, the Bible is taught in many different venues in many different ways. And one of the challenges that the church has faced over the last several decades has just been enough qualified teachers to teach the Bible. The church experienced great revival in the 70s and 80s and even beyond, but the number of trained pastors simply couldn't keep up with the demand. In China, there were no new trained pastors, no pastors trained from the 1950s all the way up to the early 1980s. So there would be a whole generation of pastors missing. And then you have incredible revival. So how do you deal with that? So frankly, many congregations in China in recent decades have struggled with how to teach the Bible and who's qualified to teach the Bible. But fortunately, that is being remedied. Many organizations outside China have done a lot to help to through various means to train up leaders in China. And so today you have theologically trained pastors who are leading churches and teaching the Bible. But in terms of the business fellowships, you mentioned in companies and factories, oftentimes a Christian business owner would have a Bible study right within that factory. Or you've seen the development of fellowships in cities around China where Christian entrepreneurs gather on a regular basis to study the Bible together. And those Bible studies tend to be really practical because to be a businessman in China is very challenging. Business in China has been synonymous with corruption. And so if you become a believer and you're a business leader, then you're faced with, well, how can I be honest and still make money? Can I even stay in this business? And so for those folks, Bible study has really often centered around how do we live out our faith within the business?
Wow. So very practical and pragmatic for them to be able to look to the Word of God for wisdom in knowing how to do that.
That's right.
I'm Mark Swallow. This is God Is from Hong Kong this week. I'm talking to Brent Fulton. And Brent, let me just ask you this in the time we have remaining today. Theology, that is what we believe about God. That's what we talk about here on God Is. What kinds of theological issues, or when Christians, urban Christians in China think about God, what kinds of things are they struggling with?
Well, increasingly, some of the things they struggle with are not that different from things we struggle with outside China. You know, things like what does the Bible have to say about my work, you know, my business? I mentioned that earlier, but also what does the Bible have to say about my marriage, about how I raise my children? Of course, what does the Bible have to say about my relationship to the government? That's one that's particularly challenging for Christians in China. And so they've had to bring the Bible to these situations in life that have been challenging to them. The church in China has some theological streams of its own. The indigenous church in China is not just something that came about, you know, within the past a few decades, but back in the early 1900s, there were already indigenous church leaders emerging, people like Watchman Nee, the founder of the Little Flock, Wang Mingdao, the evangelist John Sung, and they've all left their mark on the theology of the church in China. And so if you look at particularly within the unregistered church, some of their theology, you see the traces of the influence of those men on the church in China.
So fascinating. Isn't this fascinating, everybody? I'll tell you what, if you're enjoying my conversation with Dr. Brent Fulton, why don't you write to me today and let me know, and then I can pass along that encouragement to Brent as well. My email address, my post office box address, and how to get me on Facebook will be given to you in just a few moments, and so I encourage you to write and let me know what you think about this format, this conversation I've been having with Dr. Brent Fulton, and then get his book, China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden by Brent Fulton. It's in paperback. It's 130 pages or so, 140. It's very readable. I have it right here. You could read it in a week, a few days. And you can also pass it along to people who you think would be interested in China. Perhaps give it as a gift. To somebody, for a birthday even, in your life. We're going to have one more day together, and we're going to do that next time. So invite a friend still to join you, and then come on back tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is.